let's make this worth it.
Oh, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 614. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is evidently at least a slightly inebriated Chris Calamita. What is up?
I'm fine, don't you? I needed to be inebriated after what we just watched for the last 2 hours.
Yeah, that was not exactly a ringing endorsement to come back. Like,
no, none of it was.
You know,
Impact is being played for fools. I mean, they're already fools. They're obviously fools. There's not a chance in hell Kenny Omega is actually going to wrestle a match on an Impact show. Or anyone of any note from AEW is going to do this. As has been already reported in some circles, Don Callis' contract with Impact is up soon, and he's going to end up going to AEW. I mean, this is Hulk Hogan and Eric Bischoff leaving all over again.
So is Scott D'Amore Hulk Hogan, or is he?
I guess he's Dixie Carter and.
Dixie Carter.
And Don Callis is going to be riding out on his leg.
Oh, man.
No, wait. Did you say Scott D'Amore is Dixie Carter?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's going to be riding out on Don Callis' leg, begging him not to leave. But he's going to leave. And it's going to air on television, probably, just like last time.
Oh, man.
I guess I am going to be a little more animated than usual tonight.
Well, I mean, I will say something. Just simply reviewing Impact is something. You had mentioned it. You know, you're like, I wanted something different. I'm like, yeah, F it, man. Like, it's definitely going to, you know, yeah, so there was that draw from AEW, obviously. And, like, I guess I didn't expect Kenny Omega to be especially wrestling, like, tonight. Like,
no, of course not.
If anyone thought that, they are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
But, I was unaware that Impact had already taped all of their programming through the end of 2020, and there was no way Kenny Omega was actually appearing in the ring on Impact. I did not know that until earlier in the week.
Oh, because of the you had made a comment on Twitter there while we were watching about them not. What the hell was that? About the no crowd situation. And that kind of got me thinking. I'm like, oh yeah, these really must have been taped far in advance. Like, there's no way they wouldn't have. To me, I would think that they would have at least moved to some type of partial fan system. Like, even if it was a limited seating kind of a way.
Yeah, no, no. Yeah, I can't go back to where we were in, like, April. I know I've tried to watch ROH, and people are saying that ROH has been really good since they came back and started that pure tournament thing, and, you know, MLW's back, but it's just like, I can't go back to that. You know, with the production aesthetic of both WWE and AEW being what they are, I'm not going to watch lesser shows. I'm not going back to an empty room with no real noise taking place. I can't do it. Even if the show was even halfway decent on its own merits, I can't go back to that.
This show
tonight would have been terrible, no matter how many people were watching it live.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely not doing this again.
That was, yeah, as an overall whole, that was the main problem, is that, I mean, I guess you can't, because they're taped so far in advance, you can't bring your best. But I mean, yeah, it's just, there's not going to be a good way to time that if you've taped that far in advance.
No, I don't know why they timed it like this. I'm not sure if Omega's win over Moxley couldn't have happened later or earlier. It's a weird, it's weird timing. And I don't believe for a sec, after what I watched tonight and the things I've, the rumor and speculation that's out there, I don't believe that AEW is in any way highly invested in this relationship as far as, you know, giving anything back to Impact or even really taking anything. I don't get the point of this at this point. There's nothing.
Oh. Yeah, well, yeah, I guess knowing what we know now, I suppose, like, if they're taped through the end of the year, that means the pay-per-view is taped, correct?
I believe that means, yeah. Well, it's not, I guess it's not, I guess I was wrong. It's not technically a pay-per-view. It's an Impact Plus special event.
Oh.
That's rolled into people's Impact Plus's subscription.
Okay.
As opposed to Impact still does, I think, like 4 or 5 actual pay-per-views a year.
Yeah.
Charge people $35 for.
That is an important distinction.
I think they said Hard to Kill, which, my God, is that an appropriate fucking name?
Oh, yes, it is a 100% true thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, at this point, even if Callis leaves, I would imagine D'Amore would still be there.
Because
doesn't he have some type of tie to Access TV? Or
I mean, the people who own Impact also own this network, so. And they possibly bought it just to have a place to put their wrestling show that they paid for when they bought it from Dixie Carter. So I guess this is going to continue to exist in some form or fashion.
Right.
As programming, because they own two networks. They own the Fight Network in Canada and now Access in the United States. So I guess this show is just going to keep limping along until Anthem no longer wants to be in the wrestling business, or they have other things they can put on their channels, which it doesn't look like they do. I mean, there's a stories out years ago that when they bought Impact, they basically just turned the Fight Network into the Impact Wrestling channel, and, you know, got rid of a lot of their, you know, actual combat. Legitimate combat sports coverage type stuff that was airing there. As the same thing happened on Access.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because
Access, I believe, kept their music stuff, and, you know, really got rid of all their MMA and boxing stuff.
Oh, wow. Did they end up keeping? I'm trying to think of what the All Woman's promotion was.
Was that WOW?
WOW, yeah.
I think that was one and done.
Okay.
I mean, I think that's going on a year or two now, too. So, yeah, it was one and done.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got away from DirecTV and Access because that...
Yeah.
And that was the other thing. You kind of brought it up that's more of like a general Impact note. So on the Twitch stream, you don't get real commercials.
But you know what? If I remember correctly, on Access, you really don't. You only get commercials for Access shows. They don't actually have. They don't actually sell ad types to products and movies. And
you know what? I forgot. Even when it was the former owners,
so I'm half right, and you were half right.
Okay.
Because I think that those commercial breaks on Twitch, those things were going 3 to 4 minutes. It was longer than the average television commercial break, if I'm not mistaken.
A couple of them, yes. Either chewing up at least a full commercial break by itself.
And then Twitch would throw in their own ads. But the show was still over by 10 p.m.
Yeah.
So really, the actual Impact Wrestling show, the actual content for 2 hours is less than AEW or NXT or SmackDown.
Oh, yes. Yeah, like, I kind of figured that it was an hour and a half of material.
So you were actually more right than me. I apologize for calling you on Twitter.
Oh, no. Well, it was another thing, though, that I guess that, to me, that's a lost opportunity. Like, if they're just going to tell someone to air that much of the old clips, like, why don't you have, a recorded promo for that time? Why aren't they using that then? Like, I know that it's all pre-recorded, but,
yeah,
do they not have the production money to do it, I guess? Like, that's the only thing that off the top of my head that...
do you get out of showing clips from a match between the Lucha Bros and Santana and Ortiz from 2019 showing off
who left your company?
Has lost its AEW launched.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I remember watching that match. It was completely ridiculous, and they should have been dead. But
there was nothing better than that on this show tonight.
Oh no, new. Yeah. Because I honestly was not surprised. I have definitely been one of the people mentioning that what does AEW get out of this? They only had one woman's match tonight, and it was a tag team match because they're starting their own tag team title division. Which, as much as I think that they probably have enough women to do like an 8-team tournament. 2-4. Yeah,
okay,
eight-team tournament.
Yeah.
What's it like? It's kind of like the problem that the WWE has. Like, the WWE says, hey, we're going to let this title float between all three brands, but then they do a terrible job of promoting other tag teams on the other brands so that you can see some type of up-and-coming challenger. And that's kind of the problem that I see Impact having, too. Like, I don't think they still have a deep enough pool. Like, I don't even know if NXT could pull it off, to be completely honest with you. As much as we talk about NXT's women's division, like, to pull that off and still have a good singles division is... You've got to have a lot of women on the roster and invest a lot of time in them.
Yeah, correct. And what is this? What is the story with this tournament? Do you have any idea? Because it seemed like it's some really mixed match teams of people who just do not go together. What was it, like a blind draw situation, like a lethal lottery? Like, how are these teams selected?
I have no idea. I have not been paying attention to Impact at all for quite a while at this point.
Right.
I think it's been over a year, and I know that Jeremy's said a thing or two to me here and there when we've done shows, but none of it's sticking. You know, like or at least the stuff that sticks is always the crazy weird Rosemary's getting married by James Mitchell to some weird zombie thing or something.
See, now that would have been interesting. If they had put that on tonight's show, I would have... I might have actually enjoyed.
Yeah, so I wasn't really surprised.
It wasn't a wacky enough show for Impact standards.
Yeah, it was
a whole show around this interview with Kenny Omega and Don Callis where they really said nothing and said, tune into AEW for our real announcement. That is how this show ended.
Yeah. I mean, they literally, like, to me, the Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone ad for it.
Oh, that was bad, too. I mean, Tony Khan is just not a TV personality. And Tony Schiavone just looked like a man who looked like he knew this was stupid.
You know, I didn't mind it, but when you end the program that way of, oh no, we were just kidding, we're not actually going to announce anything here, it's just like, what does this do for you then? Like, yeah, like, I really don't, I don't get.
It sounds like they're going to have, like, this thing where Kenny Omega travels the world and collects championships. If they've got other, which maybe could be interesting if they've got other promotions, you know, signed on to be part of this, but once again, what would they get out of this? I don't know.
Yeah, because, like, New Japan wouldn't get anything out of it. Like, people
no,
who...
No. And they hate the elite guys. You know, I mean, I don't know if ROH would be agreeable to it. But ROH was used to promote All In and then use that to springboard to the formation of getting Tony Khan on board and the formation of AEW. ROH was screwed over in that deal.
Yeah, and I mean, we joke about them. What is that? Oh, they sent their production team to help with.
It was basically an ROH show. It was the ROH ring and the ROH production crew. Yeah. Yeah, and then they're gone by December, and then they leave New Japan hanging in January. Like, New Japan has pride. Like, you know that Japanese business, you don't lie to your business partners, you know, mentality in Japan is quite something. And they don't forget anything. Like, Okada will still hates the remnants of TNA that exist in Impact. You know, for the way he was treated when he was there. So yeah, I don't know if, yeah, I do not know if AEW and New Japan can get together.
And if they can,
New Japan is not going to let AEW bulldoze them over.
Right.
The way Impact would, of course.
Yeah, New Japan is definitely going to have a lot of say-so in anything that happens. And I mean, I would think that would just be a tough sell, you know, just in general. Like, I don't know what that, I don't know what it does.
Right now it's a tough sell from anyone from the U.S. even being allowed in this country of Japan, so nothing's happening anytime soon. I mean, I think they've already said that. There's no Moxley and Jericho will not be appearing on the
Wrestle Kingdom
Tokyo Dome show.
Okay.
And yeah, of course, Moxley still holds a JPW championship while this is going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that isn't his fault. What belt does he have?
Their United States Championship.
Oh.
Which I guess he could lose in the United States if need be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, now as far as New Japan's attempts to make inroads in the U.S., losing access was a big deal for them. So oh. They're not going to be want to be part of a group of people, united front of wrestling promotions that includes Impact. They're not going to want to do business with those assholes ever again. The people who run Impact and kick them off of Access.
So you're saying that there are multiple problems to getting New Japan involved is what I'm hearing.
So. Certainly, if Impact isn't involved, and then once again ROH should feel slighted by what the Elite pulled off. So, I mean, there's advantages to these other wrestling promotions, doing business with each other when WWE's market share is so strong, but they've got their own political issues to work through to make anything like that happen. And AEW, of course, has a major network on prime time, so they, in the U.S., are certainly in the driver's seat in that regard. New Japan has, obviously has Japan.
Oh, right.
Anything they accomplished in the U.S. was a bonus, and right now no one's running, major shows with thousands of people present in the United States at all, so they have no motivation to run here.
Oh, right.
I mean, right now, I'm not all that interested in what New Japan has going on either, for me personally. They came back and after some time away, but it feels like it's the same promotion it was a year ago. I mean, they're literally running with the same guys on top that they were last year heading into Tokyo Dome. I don't even think I'm going to re-up with my New Japan subscription in time, the Japan World subscription in time for the Tokyo Dome this year, because it's just like, I'm not going to watch Ibushi versus Naito again, where the winner faces Jay White again. They got nothing new either. If anything,
well, and what?
They're in a worse place than they were a year or so ago. Because
would that be the third or fourth year that's been some combination of those guys with Okada mixed in there?
Yeah. No. 2019 was Tanahashi versus Omega.
Oh,
but since
yes.
Then, Tanahashi's been downplayed. So but definitely the January 4th, 2020, and January 25th, now, because they're doing two nights in a row, it was the same four. It was three of the same four guys who were involved. Yeah. So no. Yeah, New Japan's got their own problems trying to get themselves to a different place in their own country. Yes. But who knows? So maybe having Omega back in the picture would be a help for them.
It could, but again, like I don't see them really going for that, because I mean, I feel like that connection was shut down pretty firmly at the beginning of AEW, and I'm not sure what would have changed that stance. In the meantime, like, I guess it helped change your main event picture a little bit, but
New Japan has changed management. The head guy at the head of New Japan has changed, but who knows what that means?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that could open the door a little bit more than it was at the dawn of this, but. Again, I mean, I guess it's kind of an interesting. If you can't really do the travel, what good is it going to do you?
Tonight mentioning that, the Omega Jericho, that really hit me. Like, that's 3 years ago now.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah.
It's just a reminder that. I know we don't necessarily think of anything that's happened in the last 5-10 years as like a golden era of wrestling, because especially those of us who lived through the 80s boom and the late 90s boom, but it's like, my God, were things way more interesting in that era, with New Japan growing and the rise of the Elite and ROH and the build to, you know, All In, and the WWE had a lot more going on. It's like, it was better back then, just 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun, and I guess I could handle a Jericho from 3 years ago, and now it's just like every segment I feel like I'm just laboring to watch.
Yeah, Chris Jericho has not had a good last couple of years. He has aged 10 years in two. It really is something to see.
Well, yeah, and that is something that certainly has not helped out at all. He can post as many "I'm 50 and I'm in great shape" pictures as he wants, but
sucking that gut.
Yeah, as long as he keeps on drinking as much as he supposedly drinks on his podcasts and his late night sessions with seemingly everyone. Yeah, there's only so much you can do to combat that, especially in your 50s.
Yeah. I'm finding that in my late 30s.
Yeah, no, well, and it does not get any easier.
Jericho has really just become something of a parody of himself, and it's kind of sad to see, and you know, and you can even see it on AEW TV. You don't have to follow him on Twitter or Instagram and see him making a buffoon of himself and, you know, liking pro Trump tweets and endorsing the silly idea that the election was in any way rigged against Trump and all that. You know, you can just watch AEW and see that this is not the Chris Jericho, you know, of even, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. And if you actually do follow along with, you know, his social media shenanigans, it's even more sad.
I tapped out of that and the podcast a solid year ago, if not longer. It's just like, yep, okay, that's, yep, I'm good. Have fun. Plus, it really did not help that his podcast almost completely hinged on getting the WWE talent. And as soon as he signed with AEW, it was like, nah, you can't do that anymore.
I've listened to some semi-recent episodes. There was an episode with, like, Arn and Tully together that was really good. And, you know, he can still be a good interviewer, but I'm just kind of fed up with him at this point. It's just, it's one of those, it's sad to watch things. He still has his moments where of, you know, the old Chris Jericho within the framework within the context of AEW.
Oh yeah.
So, but otherwise, yeah, I want nothing to do with the guy at this point.
Yeah, it's he does not have a good look going on currently. I think in the general Stunt Granite community at this juncture. And what was there was something else about Impact that I wanted to talk about, I guess.
Okay, I was under the impression. Okay, go ahead.
I guess there was something to me, at least to finish, about the women's talk. Like, I guess I was not surprised to see kind of a mocking tweet of someone saying, oh yeah, the women that are going to help AEW. And, yeah, they did not do themselves. This episode was not an episode to feature them, even in a wacky storyline. Like, there was nothing for the ladies tonight to feature. Like, and I feel like that was one of those things that Jeremy has stressed, and, like, there's been, like, 2 or 3 segments with the female talent there in Impact, and we did not really get any of that.
No, we're getting this as I said mentioned earlier, this kind of silly tag team tournament that seems like that the teams were drawn at random.
Yeah.
None of these teams have any chemistry. feel like that they would be friends or partners in any way, shape, or form. So I don't get what this is supposed to be.
Yeah, so...
And of course, the announcers not explaining that at all. Not thinking at all that this might be the first time a lot of people are watching Impact in a long time.
Well, it was kind of funny that they acknowledged it, but then they didn't... They being Josh Matthews and Madison Rain, so we get the husband-wife duo. I'm not sure when Don Callis decided to get off of commentary. Because I guess I was expecting him to be on commentary all night long. And, yeah, that might be something I'd need to ask Jeremy if he's moved out of the booth somewhat recently or if it's kind of been an ongoing thing. And so that was kind of strange, but as you pointed out, they'd say, oh, so-and-so, there's some history going on here, but then they kind of leave it at that for a couple of different things. So, like, they acknowledged it, and they acknowledged the interview, so it's like, okay, we know that you taped or at best retaped all the commentary for this show around this Kenny Omega angle. Like, why didn't you fill in those gaps? Like, it would be one thing if you could tell that they had just all the old audio from when they originally recorded it. But, I mean, there were a couple of specific references about the Omega interview during match times, I think.
It was very much, you know, WCW, let's talk about everything but the match that's actually going on in the ring type stuff here, yes. Yeah, whatever chance they had, they blew it. I mean, they're not explaining things. There were backstage segments where I didn't know who these people were. There's no graphics. No one's, you know.
What you should do in these
situations is make sure that if you don't want to have a graphic in a spontaneous backstage segment, make sure that people mention everyone's name over and over again. Say it multiple times.
Oh.
So that you're aware of what this character's name was. I have no idea who those two overweight fellows Tommy Dreamer was talking to are. Never seen them before in my life. Didn't get one of their names.
There was Alicia Edwards never said her name. Like, I only know her because of my, you know, stint in Impact, watching Impact the beginning of last year. She wasn't introduced, and I mean, there's always that reason. It's just like, Paul Heyman, like, the first thing, almost always the first thing, or within the first sentence, Paul Heyman's name comes up in any Paul Heyman interview.
Yeah.
Like, and there's a reason for that. Like, yeah. It's such a basic thing that Paul Heyman does, right, that people take it for granted. Like you said, like, I think Tommy Dreamer said the guy's name maybe once, and it's just like
it wasn't clear, if you watch WWE or AEW backstage segments like that, although AEW doesn't really do the backstage segments like that, they do more do the either backstage interviews or, oh my God, we're going to the back because some kind of commotion is going on, but they still tell you the person's name involved in it. And I'm sure. I'm sure if I went back and watched any backstage segments from last night's Raw, you know, you have that, you know, oh, Miz, or oh, you know, Sheamus.
You say
the person's name in lieu of having a graphic.
And they even go with something like you'll hear the
times, as I said, yeah.
Whoever the interviewer is.
Yeah.
Is like, so and so here. Or one of the people at the desk goes, oh, let's throw it to, you know, who. whoever's backstage.
There were no actual, other than Josh Matthews with Kenny Omega, there were no actual interviews on this show tonight, were there? No one with a microphone.
Oh.
Actually interviewed anybody.
Correct, yeah, because...
It was all these backstage skits where we're just expected to know who these fucking people are. And what's going on, what's been going on at Impact the last 6 months.
Yeah, because if nothing else, you gotta go with production on that and to give us a little, graphic at the bottom of the page to help us out here.
Yeah, no, I mean, I still have no idea who these guys are who were being accused of shooting the guy who got shot. Never mentioned his name either. I thought they killed somebody off when they did that. I had no idea the guy was still alive. Amazing thing to see him in a wrestling show.
Yeah, and I want to say it's kind of sad that I remember that they mentioned the stuffed horse's name, but I don't remember the wrestler. I don't remember them mentioning the wrestler's name.
They remember the horse's name, though I've completely just from my memory that. And then, why was I under the impression that Eddie Edwards was the Impact champion and not Rich Swann?
They did say that the title changed hands recently and that Rich Swann captured it. How that happened, but that's another example of what you're talking about where they said, that was interesting, and they dropped it there. Like, they didn't explain what happened. You know, like, how do Matthews and Rain not explain what happened to get us to that point? Like, again, you're acknowledging what, Kenny Omega is bringing to your broadcast. Like, how do you not, it's just, yeah, it's something really basic that should have been done and wasn't. Man, this is just not a good show.
No, it's a terrible show in every way. There is nothing worthwhile in the body of this show. The only real entertainment I got besides just making fun of it was when they replayed the Steiner Math promo from over 12 and a half years ago.
Oh my gosh. And that's something I feel like I need to bring up.
Yeah.
And it's back to the Tony commercial ad. They need to stop saying how long ago Tony Schiavone and Sting did stuff.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If Sting was 18 at that point, he'd be what? 43 right now. But it's just like, oh my God, like, you did an interview with him 25 years ago. That's how long he's been around. Like, oh man, I guess sometimes I realize nostalgia does not always hit me terribly hard. And that is one where it's one thing to listen to 80s music and get enjoyment out of it still. It's another thing to be telling me that a wrestler is going to be in a professional wrestling ring when they were wrestling 25 years ago. And at that point, what, they were probably like 10 years deep into their career? No thank you. Stop saying stuff. Like, that is not something that is attractive to me. But they keep on bringing it up, so they must think it's a positive. I don't get it. Do you get it?
I mean, Sting's a legend.
Yes.
He's got the history on TNT. I mean, that's what they value in him. That WCW Nitro era guy that they can promote as returning to TNT. What that's going to mean going forward, I have no idea. I mean, they're already talking. The talk's already at that. He is going to have a match, which is maybe not be the prettiest thing in the world, but it's the only way you're going to get any return on that investment.
That is very true.
Maybe they'll do these. Maybe they'll do cinematic style matches with him, and it will be a help. Supposedly, that's the reason Sting decided he wasn't going to continue his, at least legend slash marketing arrangement with WWE, because he wanted to do basically do a Boneyard match with The Undertaker, and they turned him down. That is the reason he's in AEW right now.
Oh, well, that would have been a fun match.
That probably would have worked. And you know what? Well, WWE has good old Mark Calloway under contract until he's like 70 years old, so it will never happen like that. I was gonna say if Undertaker, well, if Undertaker's contract was actually gonna lapse, maybe AEW would have an opportunity here, but nope, there's none there.
The second Vince smelled someone around the Undertaker making him an offer.
I mean, that was what happened. Remember,
Yeah.
that's what happened. He was going to do StarCast around the time of
Yeah.
the first Double or Nothing.
No, it was, oh yeah, Double or Nothing.
Yeah, he was going to be in Las Vegas for Conrad. Technically not anywhere, technically not associated with AEW, but close enough. He got himself a nice little, he got himself a nice little new deal.
Yeah, so that 100% happens again if AEW gets that idea in their brain.
Yeah, I mean, WWE really didn't do much with Sting.
Oh, no.
Even having him under a merchandising or a marketing deal, I think the last time they marched him out, it was to for a birthday party for Ric Flair, I think,
Oh,
when
okay.
Batista showed up.
Yeah, that is quite
So,
possible. Yeah, they weren't really doing anything with them.
yeah, no, I mean, they didn't really value having Sting. And if AEW values having Sting because of the history and, that they think that him doing interviews with Tony Schiavone is going to hit people in the nostalgic feels, hey, more power to him. And if they think
Yeah.
they can get Sting through a match, I guess go for it.
Yeah. Well, if it's that a cinematic style of match, I would think that they should be able to cover up his flaws. But yeah, I'm still just not really feeling the Sting train. Like I would call myself a Sting defender for the most part for his legacy, but. Yeah, it's to the same point where it was with Ric Flair and with pretty much anyone else that's in The Undertaker. Because I'm trying to think of who else has really hung in there so many years where it's just like, guys, come on. Like, because even Shawn Michaels, for as long as he was around, like, what, he called it quits around 45 or something in that area?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe he did a partial schedule after that or something, but yeah, like in Triple H did, 'cause what was last year the first was he wasn't at WrestleMania last year. Like in a match.
No,
So
he was
like
not.
his matches have come even fewer and far between. So I don't think he said he's retired, but his matches do not come with any great frequency. So I mean, he was out kind of in the same age range. Like I don't know how many people have stuck around other than Flair, Taker, and now Sting gets added to the list where it's just like, guys, come on, man. Could you call PCO someone that's hung around too long?
What's he even doing? I haven't seen him in a long time.
Yeah, I can't remember. I've only listened to ROH with sound once or twice, so I'm not quite sure if he's still there or not. I have seen his videos popping up on Twitter every now and again. But that's another one where it's just, I saw some of the spots that guy's doing, and man, that's got to be hard on a young person's body. Like, I can't imagine how his body's feeling currently.
Right. No, no.
You know, but I guess maybe because he was out of the limelight for so long, I don't think about him being around as long as some of the other guys that I mentioned. But whew, yeah, I guess Sting will get something match wise from AEW, and it'll be interesting to see what they end up going with. You know, the other thing that did hit me during Impact was something that some of our friends have talked about, that sometimes there is a lack of melanin, especially in the men's singles division on AEW. And it was kind of funny that Impact had all of their African-American pretty much talent all packed into one match.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, that was pretty amusing.
At least that one they kind of explained somewhat well, I would think. At least part of it. We knew that Chris Bay was challenging Rich Swann for the Impact title. We kind of got a little bit of backstory on Moose now carrying the TNA Heavyweight Championship. But they just called him delusional. We're not quite sure why he's delusional and then has sunk to these levels, though. And I'm not interested enough to find out. And Willie Mack. Like, I guess I like the talent, you know.
I've always have liked Willie Mack. Anything I've ever seen of him. Yes.
Yeah, so I like Willie Mack. Rich Swann, you know, he has some problems, but I do enjoy him for the most part, but it doesn't seem like his character has evolved at all from what we saw in the WWE. So that kind of is what it is. But I'm not surprised. Like, he's definitely one of the more engaging guys that Impact has. So to see him with the championship, it doesn't really surprise me. I feel like when I did see them, he was getting a good reaction. Chris Bay was the only guy I wasn't terribly familiar with, and he looked pretty impressive in the match. Granted, there was some you know, I guess that isn't a full showing for anyone, but I would be interested in seeing more of his stuff. But again, I'm not gonna watch Impact just to watch him.
No, I am never doing this again. This is it. The end. If they get new owners and they end up on a network that actually matters, then maybe. But this version of Impact on Access and Twitch with this leadership, with this creative team, never again. With a show like this, no. Oh, and the guy who Tommy Dreamer is wrestling on Saturday, Larry D, in a match where if Dreamer wins, Larry D goes to jail. If Larry D wins, he walks a free man. Because allegedly he's the one who shot old Johnny Bravo. Although he probably didn't do it, because that's the way that's professional wrestling.
Yeah. Don't care. Not talking me into Final Resolution on Saturday.
I'm not trying to. I'm not watching Final Resolution on Saturday.
Yeah, that was more a general statement for Impact, if they happen to be listening.
If I subscribe to Impact Plus, trust me, it's the inverse of the WWE Network. The last thing I would do is watch the current product. Oh, AJ Styles and Samoa Joe. Okay, let's watch that.
Oh, man. Yeah, is there anything in the world of WWE that you wanted to talk about before we moseyed on out of here? Or are we just going to go straight Impact and hit the old dusty trail?
You know what? Let's just do Impact and hit the trail.
Okie dokie, still in the beer cleaning out mode here at the DeFrango household. Wolf's Ridge Brewing Septemberfest. I still have, I have one Oktoberfest left from Wolf's Ridge 2 that I need to consume before I am allowed to purchase new beers. That time is approaching. Thankfully, I have really whittled down the beer pile, and I think I only have about a 12-pack left or so. So that time is nearing, but this is a nice golden-style fest beer. It is fantastic, as is a lot of things that Wolf's Ridge makes. This is one of those beers that, to me... I think I could get my father-in-law to drink, who is not always he is not a hoppy guy, and he likes stuff that is more geared into that Budweiser-y type area. So he likes Pilsners and lagers and kind of lighter old-school German beers. And this one would fit the bill for them, so I will say that. And Wolf's Ridge, yet again, is another Columbus brewery that is delivering all over the great state of Ohio. So if you happen to be within earshot, pick some beer up from them. You're probably not going to be able to pick up this one because it's not in season. But take your pick. I'm sure there's a tasty one for you currently. So for at DeFrango 11, that is my bell time beer of the show. He is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you happen to be able to do that. And have a good night.